Surely appreciate your prayers today. No matter how long you've been doing this, it doesn't get any easier. When you remember that you're handling the eternal Word of God and you're talking to eternal souls, and also realizing that whatever we say here, we'll meet it someday and we'll give an account of it. So we stand before you here and trembling before the Lord. I don't know how your faith is today, but after you hear our burden this morning, I trust that your faith will be increased. The devil challenges the faith of God's people. So we want to go through the scriptures and be reminded of some things about God. The first one, I'd like to read two before I actually get started. The first one's found in the 55th chapter of Isaiah. It's familiar to all of us, I'm sure. Isaiah 55 and 9:8. He said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That brings quite a separation, doesn't it? As far as the heavens are from the earth. "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." The other scripture is found in the book of Acts, in the 17th chapter. Let's see where I want to start. The 24th verse. "For God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." Just on those two scriptures alone, can we see the magnitude and the power and the glory of God? Sometimes we get the idea, the way that we handle life and things that come our way, that things just happen. How many of you believe that things just happen? I don't believe things just happen. I want to talk about divine providence today. Walk through the scriptures a little bit. God is conceived as the power to sustain and guide human destiny. We're not just here randomly, but there's a God that is guiding every one of us. He has a purpose for us. Man's will acts on his thoughts and desires. And when man acts on his thoughts and desires, God permits or allows it to happen. But let us remember that every time we have a thought or a desire and our will acts upon that, the results are not always the same. I give you an example, some examples maybe. I was thinking as I was meditating on this past week, Lord woke me up in the middle of the night, gave me this message. He gave me the skeleton, as Brother Donald always said, and then he began to put some meat on it. I trust that will be a blessing to us. The results are not always the same, even though our will acts upon our desires and our thoughts. I remember reading World War II. There was a group of men earlier in the war that they were Germans, and their intention was to kill Adolf Hitler. They went through the motions, and they did what they thought they needed to do it, but he didn't kill him. It wounded him, but they didn't kill him. Their intentions was that he would die. In this, I see divine providence. The Bible says that he has determined the times before appointed. He knows all about history, folks. When John the Revelator was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and he wrote the book of Revelation, what we have as the Revelation, he wrote a history of things that were to come. And almost every bit of Revelation has been fulfilled. But notice that God showed him and gave him a revelation of things that were to come, and God ordained those things to be. We get the idea sometimes that, well, you know, I've got control of the destiny of my life. Do you really? We have the ability to make choices. We can pretty much do what we want to do. But I want to tell you that there's a governing power. There's divine providence that is working in each and every one of our lives. And God has a purpose and an intent for every one of us. We can try to override that, but God will not be overridden. He will have His way and He will do His will. The Bible said He sets up kings and He takes down kings. He does care what happens in the world. He cares what happens in our own very personal lives. He cares about us. Also, I thought about, and I'll leave that alone, war is a very terrible thing. There were a lot of things that were planned and didn't work out the way men planned it. That was because of divine providence. Because God had other plans. He had other ideas about His ways are higher than our ways. I thought about my own life, and before I'm finished, I want us all to consider our own lives. But I thought about my own life, personal life, and I've looked back many times. I suppose you have too. And I look in my life when I was a young man, I was saved and living for the Lord, had a good experience. And as I got older, I got careless with it, and I lost my experience with God and went out into the world for a lot of years. About 28 years I was away from God. There were things that I did, things that I chose to do with my life, foolish choices. But there were things that I chose to do that could have taken my life and sent me out into eternity to meet a just God, lost. So I thank God this morning for His divine providence to work in my life, to work in your life. I thank God for everyone that's here this morning with a desire to want to know more about Him, to want to know how to understand Him a little bit better and to draw closer to Him, and to understand that He cares and He's working in your life. Somewhere down the line, through it all in my life, God looked down and He saw that just like the Apostle Paul, whenever he was persecuting the church, God saw something there that if he could harness that he could make a vessel, remake the vessel and use him to his glory. You and I were created to the glory of God, weren't we? That's what we were created for. So God saw something in little old me down through the years, allowing me to go out and do my thing in the world. I got married, I had children, and He gave me a good job, and I look back on that job, and I was about ready to quit the job because it was just very boring to me, and I didn't want to do it anymore. But I look back on my life, and I see how that God had a plan. He has a plan for every one of us. Oh, He'll let you do what you think you want to do. But He is continually making adjustments with the choices that you make. Did you know that? I'm talking about divine providence. Things don't just happen, folks. They happen for a reason, and God is the one that has the reason for why that they happen. I look back again and I see the job. He gave me a good job. I was able to make a change in the work that I was doing, and then I began to like my job, and I stayed there and worked there for 30 years. And I looked how God had saved me during that time. And then He not only saved me, but He called me into the ministry. And I look back 15 years ago, when I was only 51 years old, I walked away from that job with a full retirement. God had His hand on the whole thing. A week after I walked out of that job, I was holding a revival up in Akron, Ohio. And things just went from there. God saw it all. He knew it all. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe He sees and knows it all in your life? He has a plan for you? I believe He does. I believe that He has divine guidance for His people. And I'm going to use the Word of God by the help of the Lord to prove that and to remind us of it again this morning. Because I want our faith to be inspired. Folks, if our faith, the greater our faith is, the greater we'll be able to trust the one that has the full control of our lives. I want us to be able to trust Him. He's got a great track record. He's never failed. He's never let His people down. He promised He would never let us down. So I want our faith to be greater today. And I want you to be able to trust Him even when you don't see it. And someone I asked one time, do you feel any better? Has the Lord healed you? And they say, by faith I am healed. And every one of them that I've talked to that have said that on down in their life, God has healed them and delivered them. Our pastor used to say, as your faith is, so be it unto you. So I want our faith to be lifted up, and I want us to be encouraged. Let's go all the way back to Deuteronomy, the Old Testament, the 32nd chapter. This is contributed to Moses. This is called the Song of Moses. 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, and I want to begin at the 7th verse. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. God did this. For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. Now, if we could, for lack of a better way of saying it, I'd like to go down memory lane for just a little bit. God has ordained where we are today. God knows all about it. He still works in the affairs of men. God is still in control. Every poor decision that is made by man, the devil will come along and he will put his slant on it. He will attack it. We are fighting the battle of Armageddon today, the battle between good and evil. Because in everything that comes and affects our lives, or affects our country, or our world, the devil's going to put his little part in it, but God is the greater power, and he is the one to see to it that it will come out the way that God wants it to come out. There were many prophecies that were given to us in the Old Testament time, and many of those had to do with his son, and he brought it to pass. Oh, it's really, when you read the genealogy of Christ, it may not be the prettiest of all genealogies. There's Rahab, the woman there in Canaan. She was a what? Harlot. It may not be the prettiest of genealogies, but God brought it to pass through the fallacies, through the weakness, through men that are only able to see as far as today. Most people can only see as far as today. But I want to tell you this morning that God sees tomorrow, He sees next week, He sees the end of time. Remember, Jesus said He didn't know when the end of time would come. Only God knows. God is the Father, folks, and God even knows when the end of time is going to come, and you can rest assured in your hearts that it is coming because His Word tells us that it's coming. But I want to go back to the beginning. He said, "Remember the days of old and consider the years of many generations." When God created man, why did He make him a twofold being? Because God made man out of dust. He made man out of corruption. And He knew that when man was given a choice to do what man wanted to do, that he would fail God and he would disobey God. God knew that. But in His wisdom, He had a long-term plan for you and I, that He would make it possible that even though man failed God, even though you failed God, even though I failed God, even though we have our weaknesses, even though we have our struggles, God has made a plan, folks, that you and I have something, have a hope this morning that we can live with Him forever in eternity. Because He made us a twofold being. He gave us a soul. You think God didn't know about Cain and Abel, before Cain and Abel did what they did? Sure He did. God knew all about all of these things, folks. It's not that your life is predetermined. I'm not talking about predestination here. I'm talking about a God that is working in your life, cares enough about you, and loves you enough to work in such a way when we make our bad choices, God may not do it tonight, He may not do it tomorrow, He may not do it next week. But in His mercy, He said, "I will harden whom I will harden. I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy." I thank God this morning for His mercy. And I'm sure you do too. It's because of His mercy that we're here today. It's because of His mercy that we have His love in our hearts. It's because God's mercy to us. So you remember the days and consider the years of many generations. The Lord's portion is His people. I think about God dealing with Abraham. Let's start with Abraham this morning. And God's dealings with Abraham. His name was Abram at first, but He eventually changed His name to Abraham. Abraham was in his own country, had his wife and family, and I'll put it my way, minding his own business, and God came along and began to talk to him. Because he found favor in God's sight. Oh, folks, aren't you glad you found favor in the sight of God this morning? Aren't you glad that you found favor from Him, folks? He favors His people. The Scripture says the Lord's portion is His people. That's the heart of God. You and I are the heart of God this morning. We are His portion. He favors us. He loves us. He will move heaven and earth for you and I. He did it for the children of Israel, and He'll do it for you and I. The scripture says that God told Israel, I gave Egypt and Ethiopia a ransom for you. He gave Egypt a ransom. He allowed His people to come through the sea and come out on the other side, but it destroyed the Egyptians, didn't He? Right through the same path that they had taken. God did that. Divine providence. Moving in behalf of His people. And I want to tell you, He's still doing that today. So I think of Abraham. He came to Abraham and he said, I want you to move. I want you to take everything you got and I want you to go into this other land. Well, where should I go? I'll tell you when you get there. Faith. That's why Abraham, that's why we call him the father of faith. Because he said, I'll tell you when I get there. Most of us want to know what's going to happen before the day's over. But Abraham was to move. And what he did was he obeyed God. Folks, obedience is the foundation of our faith. We must be obedient to the Word of God. Must be obedient to what He requires of you and I. If we want to have faith, first we've got to obey. Abraham obeyed and he went where God told him to go. And he said, God told Abraham that his seed, now listen to this, would sojourn in a strange land and would be brought into bondage 400 years. He told them that, didn't he? But he also said, through your seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. So God highly favored Abraham. Abraham did what God wanted him to do. When God said, I want you to take your son, your only son, the son that you love, I want you to take him over here and I want you to offer him a sacrifice to me. It was a test, wasn't it? Sometimes we have our tests, folks. But Abraham believed God. He didn't stagger at the promise of God. And he went and he did what the Lord told him to do. And he went and he took a son and even bound him on the altar. And God provided a sacrifice. Because he had faith in God. Lord, help our faith to be inspired this morning. I'm going to remind you, by the help of the Lord, of some things that God has done for His people. Now after Abraham, he had a son named Isaac, and Isaac had a son named Jacob. Had Esau too. But I want to dwell on Jacob. Jacob was one of his sons, and Jacob came along and he had 12 sons. And they were the patriarchs. They were the ones that judged the 12 tribes of Israel. The old patriarchs of old. And one of those patriarchs' name was Joseph. And I know you know the story, but let me reiterate some of it for the sake of my discussion this morning. He had a son named Joseph, and Joseph was his favorite boy. And that really didn't set well with his brothers. And Jacob gave him a coat of many colors. And set him apart from his brothers. And Joseph was a dreamer and all those kind of things. And dreamt about the future. And it made him angry. And one day they had the opportunity when they were out tending the sheep that Jacob sent Joseph out there to find out how they were doing. Maybe take him some food and so forth. And when they saw him coming, the hatred welled up inside them. Folks, this is the early church I'm talking about here. The hatred welled up inside of them. And as soon as they saw him coming, one of them said, let's take him when he gets here and let's kill him. And take his coat and cover it with blood and take it back to Dad. Tell him that he died. Judah, first one to speak up, said, let's don't kill him. But there's a pit here. Let's throw him in the pit. Pretty soon, there were some fellows coming along, journeying along, Ishmaelites. And they came along and they sold him. How much? 20 pieces of silver. This is the early church. Divine providence. I want you to understand. These men were doing evil, weren't they? They were doing wrong. They were not in the will of God. Well, let me take that back. They were in the will of God. They did not realize it, but God used their wrongdoing and their evil intentions to fulfill His plan. And He's still doing that today. I want you to get a hold of that. as we get there. When we get there, I want you to get a hold of that. He's still doing it today. So poor old Joseph sold him in Egypt. And he ended up in Potiphar's house. And we know what happened there. Potiphar said, "You have control over everything in my house. Everything in my house. Here's a foreigner in a strange land. You got control of everything in my house." The only thing that Potiphar knew was that he knew for sure was what he was eating from one day to the next. The rest of it was in Joseph's control. And we know about Potiphar's wife and how that she made advances at him, and God favored him, the Bible says. He favored him when he got over in Egypt. Why did God favor him? Because of divine providence, folks. He had a plan. He promised Abraham through his seed all nations of the earth would be blessed. And then after Abraham and had Isaac and Isaac had Jacob, these are Abraham's great-grandchildren that are doing these awful things. But God highly favored him. Yes, he was thrown in prison. Even when he was thrown in prison, God favored him. The keeper of the prison gave him the control over everything, over the people that were in there. He made the decisions for them, what they was going to eat, what they were going to do in that prison. He gave him control because God highly favored. Folks, when God highly favors somebody, what happens? They're blessed, aren't they? What did the angel say to Mary when he came to her? He said, "Thou art highly favored among women," didn't he? Highly favored. And God blessed her. And God used her. A young woman, a very young woman, and a virgin. And God used her to bring His Son into the world. Highly favored. Joseph was highly favored. Eventually, while Joseph was over there, things began to happen. He was given a wife. And from his wife, he had a couple of sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim. You know why he named him Ephraim? Because he said, "God hath made me fruitful in the land of my affliction." Have you ever felt fruitful in your afflictions, folks? Ephraim means fruitful. Because he recognized that in the midst of it all, that God had blessed him and made him fruitful. Can we see? That is divine providence, folks. Because God made a promise to man. He's made a promise to you and I. I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. And you can rest assured that He'll keep that promise. You can rest assured that He'll be there for you, as He was with Joseph. And then the story comes on down to where there was a famine in the land, and his dad and his brothers were. So his dad sent his brothers over into Egypt. Egypt now. Joseph was sold into Egypt. And he sent his brothers over there to get some grain, to get some food. And he sent them to Joseph. And he didn't even know it because the boys told dad Joseph was dead. And dad grieved for him for a long time. But they knew he wasn't dead, but they didn't know what happened to him. When they got over there, they didn't recognize Joseph. But Joseph recognized them. Why? Because of divine providence. Because it was God's will that it be so. He has the sustaining power and the guiding power of human destiny. It's in His hands and it's in His control. We read the Scripture in Acts. It's through Him that we live and move and have our being. He's the one that gives life and breath and all things, folks. He's the one that permits you and I to be here today. Divine providence. Here they come, begging for something to eat. Went right straight to the man that they hated and didn't know who he was. And the end of the story, you know, when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, he said, "You all meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Isn't that something? How God can turn evil around in our lives. How God can turn things around that have hurt us, things that have come against us, things that have been meant to destroy us, as it was Joseph. And God means it for good. All things work together for good to those that love God. Do you love God this morning? Because God will take everything that comes against you and He'll work it for your good. If you'll have faith in God. If you'll trust Him. So here they are. Joseph sent for his father. He sent for the rest, Benjamin, and all the rest of his brothers. They all came down into Egypt. And his father died. Then we read over there, while they were in Egypt, that there began that Pharaoh began to put them under labor and under burden. God knew all about that. God still had control. He told Abraham, they're going to be in bondage for 400 years. And they sure enough was. Until one day, there was another man born. And God ordained that, didn't He? Moses was born. And the devil set out to kill him. The decree went out to kill all the firstborns. Devil was trying to kill him. But God didn't let it happen, folks. Because God is in control of what man does, believe it or not. He is in control of what man does. Man thinks he can do a lot of things. If man would have his way, we would probably come down. This earth would be annihilated through atomic energy and bombs and things like that. God will never permit man to destroy His creation. You can count on that. God has got control of those things. He always has the last word. And God will never permit it. He will never allow it. But then He called Moses. Took him out there and gave him some lessons, didn't He? He was out there in Midian, out there tending his father-in-law's sheep for 40 years. And then he had an experience. Divine providence. Then he had an experience up there in that mountain of a bush. That was burning and wasn't consumed. How many ever seen that happen? We've never seen that, have we? I believe Moses did. He stepped aside and he realized and God told him to take his shoes off because where you're standing is holy ground. Folks, where we sit right here this morning in this place, I want us to know and understand and have reverence to know this is holy ground because God said He'd be here with us and meet us. This is holy ground. We talk about hallowed be thy name this morning. Folks, this is holy ground. God is here. Not just you and I, but folks, God is here. Because if God's not here, you and I might as well just go home. Or just come here for a good old social time. God is here. God was in that bush. That bush wasn't consumed because God is supernatural, isn't He? God has control over all the elements. Do you believe God has control over everything? I do. And I also believe that includes everything that pertains to me and pertains to my life. What God tell Moses up there? He said, I have seen the affliction of my people. God saw it. Their cries came up before Him. When you get alone in your secret closet of prayer and you're carrying a heavy load and a heavy burden, a broken heart, whatever it is that you're carrying, folks, God knows and He sees your afflictions. I want you to know that. He not only knows, but God cares. And He began with Moses. He began to set out to deliver those people. But they'd been in bondage 400 years, just like God told Abraham they would be. You believe in divine providence? I do. They got out there in the wilderness. Things began to happen. They got thirsty. God sent water out of the rock. They got hungry. God sent manna. Another time He sent quail. It wasn't very long. They were still murmuring and complaining. And then Moses went up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments from God. And while he was up there a little too long to suit the people. And they began to complain and murmur. And they looked back to Egypt. And all they could remember was the leeks and the garlics and all the food that they were eating. Oh, but they wasn't thinking about the bondage. The devil is always in anything that you and I try to do. If you take a step towards God, the devil is going to contest that. Lord, help us to be courageous. Help us to be strong. Help us to be firm and true, especially in the day and age that we live in now. Lord, help us and give us grace and inspire our faith to trust God. We need to be able to trust God. Yeah, they got all upset because Moses didn't come back and they prevailed on Aaron. Remember that? Give us something to worship. So he told Moses later, he said, I just threw the gold in and out came this calf. Right. Right. Folks, whenever those people begin to worship false idols, Baal and Moloch and all the different idols that they worshiped back in those times. Remember the time when God sent the serpents to start biting them and killing them? Thousands of them died. But God has always had a plan in place for mankind. He had a reprieve for those people. He told Moses, you make that golden serpent and you put it up there and you hold it up there and everyone that looks at it, I'll deliver them. Do we have that today? Oh yes. We have a Savior today. Everyone that will look at Him, everyone that will accept Him, everyone that will believe in Him and His power, folks, He will deliver you. He will deliver you no matter what it is that you need to be delivered from. Because He said, I've got all power in heaven and earth. Oh, I'm thankful for that today. Don't be bored with me. I know I'm going over old history here. But I'll bring it up to our time. Folks, then after all of that, pretty soon the kings came along. We know about the kings. There was a lot of kings over Israel, kings over Judah. Eventually, there was only one community at the time, but then the devil got into that, and that was split up and divided. Then there had to be separate kings and all those things. But there was a king, a particular king that came along, and his name was David, wasn't it? Was David a perfect man? He surely wasn't. He's the one that went out on the rooftop and saw Bethesda over there taking her bath and took her unto himself. Evil things. Evil. Wrong. Another man's wife. And yet God still worked in the affairs of His people because the portion, how did it say that? The Lord's portion is His people. Continually taking the mistakes and the bad choices and making adjustments in people's lives. Then He sent the prophets. The kings, when we have the kings, we got the prophets. And He sent the prophet Nathan and he told him what you did was wrong. And David humbled himself before God, you see. And he submitted himself to God and let God have His way and do what He wanted to do with him. And God blessed him. Oh, people suffered. I'm not saying that. People suffered because of his sins. But God still blessed him. And God loved David. And David was a man that had a heart after God's own heart, the Bible says. David come along and he realized, God, we don't have a place for you to come down and meet us in our worship. I want to build a temple. God says, no, you got too much blood on your hands. You've been a warrior. You've been a fighter. You've killed a lot of people for my people. You've been their leader. You've been their king. But He said, you've got too much blood on your hands. But He said, your son, Solomon. You think that was just happenstance? You know, that wasn't the only son David had. But it was the son that God ordained to carry on the church. To propitiate the church in the earth. to cause it to go forward. The devil will come. You know, Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, but the gates of hell will never prevail. Folks, God has proved that to us all down through time. The devil has come against the church in one way or another, but God has brought it on. He's brought it on. Was it the way God would like for it to have been? I don't think so. God is love and God is pure and God is holy. But nevertheless, folks, I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for you. But I know that God has taken many of the mistakes and failures that I've made and turned them around to be a blessing to my soul. Not that He overlooked them, but He forgave them through His Son Jesus. I'm grateful for that this morning. Prophets were sent to the kings. They were sent to Israel. And then some of them, Isaiah was one of the greater prophets that began to prophesy of someone that was going to come into this world to be the Savior of mankind. Oh, the prophecy started before then. But Isaiah was one of the greatest prophesiers of Jesus Christ, that He would come into the world. Christ came to the world. Sacrifice was given. He was made sin for us, folks. Sacrifice was made. And because He made the sacrifice, you and I have hope today. Happenstance just happened. Things just happened. I don't believe that. When I read the Word of God and I see how faithful God has been to bring to you and I what we have today, I'm not going to say all of our forefathers were perfect. I'm not going to say that some of them did things they shouldn't have done. I'm sure they did. They were human. But may God have mercy on us today, folks. God loves us. He's given us promises that He is going to stand with. And He's going to take our bad, dumb choices and He's going to turn them around. He said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." I'm so grateful. God understands, the Bible says, that we're dust. He knows how weak we are. He knows how pitiful we are. But it was His plan, remember? It was His plan and His choice to use man to propitiate the church. He could have done a lot of things that He does in the church today with angels, but He chose to use men and women in the church of God. And I'm grateful for it. Now let's go down. Let's go over to Matthew, 23rd chapter, another familiar text. Matthew 23, verse 37. Let's bring her down to where we are today. Jesus is here now. God ordained. The Bible says, preordained Christ, before the foundation of the world, that He would come. Thank God. And He was determined that no matter what man did, it was going to happen, wasn't He? And He had to look around and He found this little young woman, a virgin. But He got His Son in this world. Jesus was willing to come. No one else was worthy to open the book, folks. But He was worthy to come and be made a sacrifice, sin, for you and I. Paid a price, paid a debt that we couldn't pay, but a debt we had. And He paid it for us. And I'm so grateful for it. Now Jesus came and He came teaching. He came showing love. He came showing compassion and mercy on man. And now He's soon to be going back to where He, to heaven where He came from. And it says, Matthew 23 and 37, you see the compassion of God. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stoneth them which are sent unto thee. God sent the prophets to try to help His people to see and understand. And yet they killed them. Their hearts were so hard. Their hearts were so evil. They killed those prophets. And they eventually killed Christ, didn't they? He said, that thou killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee? How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye were not? Can you feel the compassion? Can you feel the love in what Jesus is saying there? Oh, how many times I would have gathered you together as a hen does her chicks. I wanted you to believe on me. I'm here to protect you. I'm here to show you love. I'm here to heal you. I'm here to heal your mind, your emotions, your nerves. I'm here to heal your soul, your body. I'm here for you. I'm the fulfillment of the law. I've come because God has preordained and through His divine providence has brought it down to this. And still Jesus came to a nation of His own of unbelievers. He came into His own and His own received Him not. Didn't stop God's plan, folks. Thank God it opened up that included you and I. It included the Gentiles. When He sent Paul out, He sent him to the Gentiles. You and I, that we can have the same hope that they were to have. The ones that rejected Him. I'm so grateful for that today. I'm so thankful for Jesus' love. If you write down scriptures, I want you to write this one down. I'm not going to turn over to it, but I'm going to read it to you. Psalms 37 and 28. Psalm 37, verse 28. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints. This is an important verse for us to finish what we're here to finish this morning. The Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints. They are preserved forever. How long is that, folks? Oh, we see some awful things coming on the scene today, don't we? Some people are frightened. Some are getting scared. Some don't know what to do, where to turn. Don't know how to handle it. God said, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. You can say in your mind, how's that going to happen? Don't you worry your little self about it. God has preserved this world to today. And He knows what's coming in the future. And He will take care of it till the end. God will. Not because we're going to do everything right. Not because you and I are perfect. Not because this nation, America, is doing everything right. Because they're certainly not. But folks, no matter what comes down, I want you to take courage here. No matter what comes down in this nation, no matter what you and I are to face, God said He preserveth His people. And I want you to take courage today. I want your faith to be inspired. God will preserve us. He cared about them back then. That's why I went down through some of that history. He cared about them. And He brought it through then. Folks, He will bring us through. He will bring us through too. He loveth judgment, forsaketh not His saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Jesus spoke to us when He was here on earth. And He made it plain that the day would come, didn't He? Whenever that we would stand before Him at the judgment, and there would be some that would be sent to the left and some that would be sent to the right. It's going to happen just the way Jesus said it. God's Word is very clear. And He makes a choice. He makes a choice, folks, between good and evil. you and I have the choice of whether we want to be good or whether we want to be evil. We have the choice. We can allow ourselves to get in places, and people have, bless their hearts. There are people that have gotten in places, folks, that shouldn't have got into, and have allowed the enemy to come and attach spirits to them. Evil spirits to them that they no longer know how to control themselves. They no longer understand the good. You know, I was thinking about divine providence, if I could say this morning. Over 2 centuries ago, in this country, they began to bring black people from Africa over to this country. Now, that was over 200 years ago. They began to bring them. Things evolved from that, didn't it? Do you know, I said earlier, the devil will take everything that we do and everything that God wants to do, and he'll put his little slant on it. Do you know what he has done with that over 200 years ago? He is using that today through the spirit of racism in this country to divide us and to conquer us and to destroy us as a nation. The devil is using that very thing. When we know that God has made us all of one blood. I read it, folks. We all have a soul. We're all been made of one blood. And we all give an account to God, no matter what color we are. Don't you love what the man said the other night? Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson. He said, you know, they asked him about racism. He said, I'm a neurosurgeon. And he said, when I get someone in the operating room, I begin to operate on the very thing that makes that person who they are. He said, it's not the color of their skin. It's not the type of hair that they have. It isn't anything about them, but it's the brain. That's what I operate on. So he said, I don't see any of those things. Lord, help us today. But you can take it to the bank, folks. The devil looked into that 200 years ago, and he says, I can use that on down the line. And God's going to use it to bring this nation to judgment. Because God's not pleased with it. He's not pleased with it at all. Predetermined. God has predetermined the time that you and I live in today. He's not surprised. You know, something may happen to us tomorrow that may surprise us, but God's not surprised. He already knows. He's divine providence. And He's still reaching out to you and I today. I want us to look at the 24th chapter of Matthew. I'm going to bring this down quickly as I can here by the help of the Lord. I'm not going to read all of this, but we know what Jesus said when He was asked the question about the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of time. You've all read this time and again. Jesus said there's a lot of things that's going to happen. Have they happened yet? No. But He said there was a lot of things that was going to happen, and He began to tell us the things that was going to happen. They happened, didn't they? Because God is divine providence. God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. He also knows the corruption of man. He knows the corruption of sin and what it does in the heart of a man. He knows that. So Jesus began to tell them the things that were going to happen right before the end of time. That's where I'm bringing it. Right down, right before the end of time. But I want to pick this reading up in the 32nd verse of the 24th chapter of Matthew. I asked for your prayers when I first got up here. I meant it. Folks, we're facing some serious times. I know that. I'm not trying to undermine any of that. I'm not trying to minimalize it in any way. We're facing some perilous times. But I want you to take courage to know that God is still in control. He still knows what He's doing. He said in the 32nd verse, Jesus said after telling them some of those things, He said, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that the end is near, even at the doors." Hopefully, I trust this morning that we as saints of God, we're not blinded to the signs. We're not blinded to the things that we see today. That we understand what they mean. We can stand around and we can wring our hands and we can say, "Oh Lord, what's going to happen? How's this going to work?" Folks, God is in control. And I want you to remember that. The devil loves it. When we get in a hard place or a hard trial, he loves it when we fall apart. And begin, just keep looking at the trial instead of looking at God. I want us to look at God. And I want us to trust Him. I want us to have faith in God. When you see these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. Folks, there's a lot of things that's going to come and go. Heaven and earth, for one thing, because it's going to be destroyed at the judgment. But my words will not fail. It's going to be just like I said it was going to be. I believe that this morning. My hope, by the very foundation of what I believe and what I hope in this morning, is that His words will never pass away. Because that's all I've got. I've got His Word. And I've got His Spirit living within me. He has sanctioned His Word by His Holy Spirit living and dwelling in God's people. Now He went on to say, "But of that day and hour," verse 36, "knoweth no man." And yet we still have people saying that the end of time's coming, October 23rd, and all those silly kind of things. "Of that day and hour," Jesus said, "no man knows. Not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." God the Father. Not Jesus the Son. Not the Holy Spirit, but God the Father. He knows. He knows. And when He says it's time, it'll be the end of time. When God says it's time. When He turns to a son and says, "Son, go call my children home. The sins of the people have eaten them up." He sent judgment in the day of Noah, didn't He? I'm going to read that. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." You know, I've always wondered, I don't anymore, but I've often wondered in those days. The Bible says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And while he was building the ark and telling the people there's going to be a flood. So they heard the message. And he got the ark built and God got them all inside and the rains came. And it said the people knew not until the flood came and took them all away. They didn't believe him, did they? You know, people are not believing it today either. They don't believe the end is coming. They won't even believe in a blood-soaked Savior that came and died for them. And I understand now. I've always wondered, what was the matter with those people? when they saw that the rain was coming, didn't they begin to believe maybe this old crazy man knew what he was talking about? They didn't know until the flood came. Maybe grasping along the sideboards of the ark, trying to hold on, begging to get in, and Noah didn't have any control over that. He couldn't open the door because God shut it, didn't he? Folks, when that day comes, God shuts the door, no man's going to open it. We're all going to stand before Him, aren't we? They didn't know until the flood came. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore. Lord, inspire faith today. He said, watch. For you know not what hour your Lord doth come. He could come before the day is over. I believe there's so much wickedness and evil in our world, He'd be well within His rights to do so. God has never, through the history of the Old and New Testament, sent judgment until He had sent His Word. He has always given man opportunity to make adjustments and to do right before He sent judgment. Watch, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come, but know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and a wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give him meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. It's going to happen just like Jesus said it would. You can count on that. Now in closing, I want to shift back to us. This is the text that got all these things going in my mind, and the Lord began to deal with me. This is the one. I thought it was going to be my first one, but it's not my first one text. But I want us to read it. It's found in the 9th chapter of John. And all these things that I've talked about here this morning, I want to bring it down to a personal level with each and every one of us. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, the disciples been with Jesus some time, and surely somebody sinned. Somebody's done something wrong because this man was born blind. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now folks, let's take that to heart this morning. The works of God should be made manifest in him. Now you go down through your memory lane in your life. You look back on foolish decisions that you've made. Crossroads in your life. Things that you've come up against, maybe didn't handle it quite right. And then look where you are today. And tell me that you don't see divine providence working in your life. He loves us today. He loves us so much that He will move heaven and earth. He said, I give Egypt and Ethiopia a ransom. Folks, He loves us. He cares about us. And I want to read one of people's, and I have to say I like it too, in closing. Jeremiah 29th chapter. See, you remember what he said in Jeremiah 29, I think you know it. Verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." Every one of us this morning have an expected end. We're going to meet the end that Christ has for us to meet. Yet in that meeting, you and I have a choice. We can reject. There's a scripture, and I think it's the 29th chapter of Proverbs, in the first verse, I didn't look it up, but he said, He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. Once again, God said, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Let's not provoke him, but let's be humbled before him. Be willing to be obedient children before God. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I take courage in that, folks, that he will hear us. Then shall ye call upon me, he said, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I want to encourage us, not today only, but every day of our life, that we'll seek the Lord, that we'll call upon him, that we'll trust him, that we'll exercise faith. You know, when we exercise faith, God knows it. He knows when we're exercising faith. He knows when we're trusting him. He knows when we're doing those things. The man didn't sin. The parents didn't sin. But this happened that people could see the works of God. Folks, God wants to use each and every one of us to glorify him. And he will do whatever he can do. He'll do whatever he can do to help every one of us make heaven our home. Lord, bless each and every one of us today. I want you to remember that God is still in control. That even in these days, when terror is arising in the world, when awful things are going on, or the simplest little thing in your life that you have a need of, that you have a concern of, God knows. He knows, and he cares, and he understands. Amen.